6 weeks, most likely.
Yeah, we're starting to do some house cleaning.
Any idea where?
I think you said there are rumors going to cover most of the rest of the country except Texas.
No, the rumors I'm going to say right now is it's going to be. Oh, we got a seat. Ah, there it is right there. 114 groups of mutually exclusive applications filed. So right now it's on circulation, which means that it's going to the full FCC for their review and their approval. And basically what they're approving is the point calculations. Anytime that we deal with point calculations, we have to deal with the full commission. That's statute. That's in the communication.
That was 4 days ago. So how many days do you anticipate?
At least probably about 3 weeks.
Three weeks. Take that long to go to circulation?
Can you tell what states those are?
No.
All of them?
No. But what
they refuse to let us know.
They won't let us know. So that tells me they've already done the house cleaning. House cleaning is done, and I only saw a little bit of house cleaning. What I mean by house cleaning is they'll go through and they'll try to find the junky apps and pull them out. But the only house cleaning that I saw was in Missouri and Delaware.
They did a bunch of Eastern stuff early.
You know.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, 114, huh? What does that tell you about what might be left for the third
group? I would have to sit down and count them. That sounds
like. How many MX groups were there altogether?
There was almost 300, about 300 or so.
Okay.
So the first one is 79. My guess is it's going to be the north. What we're hearing though, the birdies are telling us northeast. So I'm thinking like everything north of the Mason-Dixon line.
So you would say at least 2.5 weeks before they release them.
Yeah. Wouldn't it make sense that they would do the rest of the western states? They said initially. Or was announced that they were going to do all the western states, and then they left a bunch of them out. So maybe they can do the rest of them. I'm saying that I want them to do that.
My thought is that the number of, where we have the largest number of MXs right now, groups, is in Texas and Florida. Those are really the two big hitter states right now. So my guess is they're going to do the South and Texas last. Mm-hmm. Yeah. South Texas and Florida. I think that they're going to do those last. I think what we're going to see this time around, I don't know how far south it's going to come. I don't know if it's going to come to Kentucky. Don't know yet. I hope it does. I want to get that one out of the way.
Yeah, really.
But I have a feeling that so your Minnesota, your Minnesota, your Midwestern states are going to probably go in this group too. I'm not sure about Oklahoma. I know I've got a couple right now brewing in Oklahoma right now, which I want to try to get them out of the way. But, you know, most people think that Oklahoma is just a North Texas anyway. So it would be really difficult for me to speculate.
So it's 263-ish experts as of this morning.
But that also includes the West Coast?
Yes.
I'll have to sit down and read and look at them. You know, that's the first I've seen that. So yeah. That was the first I saw that. I noticed that it's on circulation. I heard a rumor that it was on circulation already. So that just confirms it.
So how soon do you think we'll find out what that window actually entails?
You mean as far as what locations?
Yeah.
When the public notice comes out.
Yeah, and which should be, if it's in circulation now, you're going to guesstimate about...
About 3 to 4 weeks.
Did it take that long?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
But to be safe,
we should be ready in like 10 days.
You know, let's just say this. The day I get back to Maryland, I'm going into stage down mode and getting ready to get these people ready to go.
So with them going into circulation to the full FCC, you say they're verifying the point system. So what does that mean? Does that mean they're evaluating our applications, making sure the points we claimed are accurate, and then actually saying, you know, rock, scissors, paper, you win?
Pretty much, no. The way it works is that right now the FCC staff has done is they've looked at all the applications. They've given everybody a point assignment based on what they said. If they need to, they'll pull points. They did it in the West. And it's usually if they can, if it's obvious on the application that an application, you know, that
that they didn't meet the minimum, you know, two years.
The Baptist Church is an Indian tribe.
You know, yeah, exactly. Somebody marked that they were a tribe, and you know, so that's pretty much what they'll take points away for. And then the FCC, the full commission has to review those points. And
so that's the commissioners and their staff?
The commissioners, yeah. The commissioners have to give the nod. And once the commissioners give the nod, it goes back to the Media Bureau, and then it goes out for release. And
then so does that give, like, on one of our stations we have a CP, but one of our stations we're MX with one other people, and we think we beat them really big on points.
Well, here's
they just release.
Who are they? What's their name?
I don't know what their name is. They're the Seventh-day Adventists.
What's
our thing, it's the North Nicholasville Road Property Owners Association. Nicholasville is spelled.
Okay, so there you are, and the dots are size of points, so you have 5 and they have something, 2.
That's kind of how we figured it.
Okay, so what's going to happen in this case is that if you've got 5, now this is you with 5?
Yes.
And that other one is the one we already have. Right. Okay. To the west, we already have that. We have that CP.
Okay. So right now, you're in competition with these folks, and as long as you're the only 2 in the group, and you've got 5, and they've got 2, you can just sit tight.
Right. That's what we're planning to
do. You just sit tight. Don't do anything. Make them. They're the ones that are going to have to move. They're the ones that are going to have to find a new place to go. You're sitting pretty because you want it.
Yeah.
You know that. Now, what's going to happen is when the public notice comes out. The day after the notice comes out starts a 90-day clock. During this 90-day clock, you can even start now, but during the 90-day clock, you can file settlement agreements with other stations. You can file change applications, and they don't have to stay with, remember when I was talking about the minor 5.6 and the channels? You don't even have to follow that. If you need to move to another place that is not within the 3 channels and not within the 5.6, you can move there. Just make sure that you stay within 10 or 20 miles of your transmitter as far as your headquarters or 75% of your board.
But if they've got, if they're in the, anybody who's in a superior point position,
stay put.
Stay put.
Now, if there's multiple applicants that are within that have the same number of points, such as what's the situation with ArtFM, you can during the 90 days you can reach a partial settlement agreement with one of the other applicants and then aggregate your points together. She's got three people in her group. If she reaches a settlement agreement with the other one and reaches a timeshare with them, that's 10 points. If they leave the other person out, that's 5 points for them. Their 10 points will win, their timeshare will win, and they get the channel. The other one will get dismissed.
And that resolution of who gets the channel, is there a date or a procedure set by the FCC? Is it just after the 90 days?
Basically, sometime after the 90 days, this goes back into circulation, it goes back to the full commission again, to make sure, you know, just because, you know, during that time too, okay, let me, before we get to that, prior to, there's also a 30-day clock that starts.
For petitions to deny. And anybody can file against anybody else. This is for formal petitions to deny. Must be filed within those 30 days. And you could very well be, you know, actually, if you're sitting with the greatest number of points, you've got a big target on your back.
Right.
And so this might be a good time to review everything one more time to see whether there's anything that you're likely to be attacked on, particularly if it's something that might be fatal. It's going to be hard to fix any of those at this point, but still it'd be good to know. Informal objections can be filed by anybody at any time, but during this 30-day period, is the only time the formal petition to deny can be filed by anybody, and those carry the most weight. The commission is required to examine and act upon it and issue a decision and tell why they made their decision.
Now, a petition to deny can only be filed by a party in interest.
Is that right?
So that means, like, a competing applicant.
Right.
A resident of the area.
A resident of the area. A broadcast station that could be impacted by your station, like a second adjacent.
Okay. Like Clear Channel.
Actually, right now, the big one was the one that you brought up earlier, actually, that interesting one that you brought up with those three stations. That was the same people 14 years ago that also filed against anybody going on 104.7 in Southern California.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was Gold Coast back then, they were called, and and I was not surprised when I saw those come in.
Now, a common thing on petitions tonight is that they'll file on the very last day of that 30-day
sure.
period,
mm-hmm.
and they're only required to serve you by U.S. mail, and so it could be several days later before you get it. Although that petition tonight, if it was done electronically, and I guess they still can do them on paper, I believe so.
Yeah, they can.
If it's done electronically, the full text of that will be posted online.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll see it before you ever get it in the mail. So you might want to check.
Or get their
Torchlight. Where Torchlight comes in.
Exactly. But
are we in that 30-day period now?
No.
No.
Just out.
That starts when the public notice is released.
Oh.
It's two periods, the 30 and the 90. The 30 is for the petition tonight. The 90 is for these major changes.
But they both run concurrent.
Correct. The 90 is for major changes to any other channel
and
to other locations that are outside the normal rules.
And the 90 days is when, if you're going to do a partial settlement, try to do your partial
aggregating.
When you're aggregating. But
here's the thing you need to get if you're not at the top of the heap with everybody else with fewer points than you. The thing you really need to get in on the first day is any major channel changes.
Yes.
First come, first serve.
Yeah.
If you're not in that category, you can file a little bit later in that 90-day period. But if you've got a channel change happening, mm-hmm. major change, get
day
in that
one,
first day.
Yeah, day one is what I call rush day. It has nothing
yep.
to do with EIB or anything like that, but it's rush day.
Yep.
It's the day that you really want to get your applications in. The FCC looks at all applications that are filed on the first day equally.
Yes.
So whether you filed it at 5 in the morning or at 10 o'clock at night, it's still considered filed the same day. If the FCC gets conflicting...
Eastern time.
If the FCC gets conflicting applications for the same thing, they'll deny them both. We've seen
yeah.
that happen.
Are any of you in that position where you're going to be changing channels? And are you?
Yeah, of course.
those are the ones we've got to take first.
We're
yeah.
not changing channels, but the other stations are going to change. We're going to stay where we originally were.
You know they're going to do that? Then?
Yep, and we're already in agreement on that.
What's your point situation?
We have top.
So right. you got 5 and they've got 4.
Can we look at yours?
Excuse me?
Can we look at yours? What's your licensee name? Who applied?
Who applied?
The name of your organization.
Oh, Ibero.
How does it spell?
A-B-E-R-O.
Oh.
Isn't it?
So I think it's what starts the day after the
day.
Yeah, there we go. That's it.
Wish we had a little more heads up than that.
Well, actually, seeing it on circulation at least gives me a chance to prepare.
Are you really sure it's going to take that many much time?
That's
the lot.
That's
through?
As long as the last one took, and also right. there's other documents that go on. The KJZZ the KKJZ decision out of Los Angeles. It's been on circulation for months.
I think it's just a matter of how big the stack is on their inbox. Not
Labor Day.
So
yeah.
Okay, so what do we got? We got three dots
that's
here.
You.
Right, that's us.
That's you.
It's RCTV probably. Or the New Day, yeah, Global Church.
Are they the one that's moving?
They're going to move, and so is RCTV.
So you
have
the same amount of points.
They're the same amount of points, so they, you know, so they better move.
But there's also... there's channels available here,
right?
Mm-hmm. Enough for all three of you to have your channel.
Exactly.
So you can all talk to each other,
yes.
and you figure that out.
Yes.
And Al's involved, yes.
Yes. And so I'm wondering for our settlement agreement, do we have to wait, or can we file it before?
Okay. You have to wait.
We have to wait.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, you have to wait.
Like this.
Now, if you three want to file a universal settlement, you're the only three on the in the group. There wasn't any. There wasn't any like fourth or any inferior.
Just granted. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. If you're the only three, if it's you, them, and them, and you all have this beautiful agreement,
yes,
file it on the first day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just file on the first day. Make it a universal settlement.
Maybe.
Everybody gets what they want, and it's and you're good to go.
Yeah. I'm recommending they use attorney to do this. I don't know what you're saying, but
I would recommend the same thing too.
I think you should, do you have an attorney already retained?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should get them on this right away then.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
You know, get
have it ready to go.
Get it signed now.
Yeah.
And then just wait for day and wait for day one, and then everybody do it.
And actually, these settlements, this is correct, is it not? They're encouraging you file it as an attachment to a 318.
Yeah.
I think so.
Not a paper file.
No.
As we've done in the past.
Oh okay.
Yeah, you want to file it on day one because, you know, there could be somebody out here somewhere that is also an LPFM that's like 23 kilometers away where one of your channels may be available there. And if that's the case, guess what? It may block them out.
Yep, that's true.
So that's why you gotta get if you're gonna make the move, do it on rush day.
Yeah. And it should be, all the parties to the universal settlement should file a 318 with the same universal settlement attached to each one. That's what we've been told. Okay. So there's three applications to file on day one and some work by the attorney to be done. So, all right.
We were talking with Prometheus and this other person, and we thought we'd convince them to move frequencies. But then we stopped hearing
Greens from that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who is that, the group?
I don't remember. His name is Bronson something, but he doesn't even live in the town. We feel confident about it, but.
Oh, it's all.
I'd love to hear some.
Which one are
expertise.
You? Are you Greater Greensboro or Greensboro Radio?
Greensboro Radio.
Okay, so you're four, and what are they?
They're four as well.
Okay.
Oh. Well, that's what they claimed on the farm. That's been contested if you want to really get into it. So,
well, that's what we decided we do want to do.
Are you going to challenge the points?
Is that an option?
It depends on whether if you can dig up dirt on them.
Yeah.
I mean
we dug up dirt on them, but.
And that's why.
What was the dirt?
Well, like he has other radio stations and. Not connected to Greensboro, really. He just has a cousin who lives there, so he put his cousin's name on the application.
Well, his cousin's name's on the application and the cousin signed it. Is his name on it?
Who's Donovan?
Donovan is his cousin. Or he's some related.
Well,
I might be wrong.
Let's see.
100%?
Jeez! One person board now. Does that state allow one person boards? That's one thing you can look at.
Oh, that's a good
thing. California requires three.
Yeah.
Secretary of State's office.
Cousin is not a family interest.
I might be wrong with the cousin, I'm sorry.
If it's a brother, sister,
scroll down, go back to the main studio.
That's inadmissible.
Main studio, let's see, 324 South Elm Street, go all the way up to the top. Let's look at where he's located. Go all the way to parties to the application. Okay, Meadow Oak. So, I would be interested in knowing about that main studio location.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it a private residence?
Is it in a gated community?
Is it in a gated community? Do they have permission from the owner of that building to use it as a main studio? Those are the things we nailed Cesar Guell on.
Good job on that.
Let's go down to the exhibits and let's see what we've got here.
Yeah. By the way, the number of minimum persons in a nonprofit may depend on what type of nonprofit it is. Public benefit or non-public benefit nonprofit.
So there's Bronson.
That's Bronson.
Yes, the tech guy.
Okay.
He lives in Rocky Mount.
We talked to him on the phone. He was in Las Vegas.
Okay, go ahead and let's look at the just for hell of it. Let's look at the Articles of Incorporation.
Yeah, these ones will work out.
No, go back to the app.
Well, that's a local cache copy of the app. The link's
still. Oh, I got it.
Probably pre-freckle when you do this.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, silly computer systems. Yes. Now they'll work.
Broadcasting team, that doesn't sound like a nonprofit.
Wow, 11-1.
So that's the 4 points.
Yeah. It's the same address.
That's the.
It's Donovan. Preparation will not have noon. Yes. It's not obviously bad.
Didn't even know his phone number. It's Snowman 8.
Is this incorporated as a non-profit?
This is the best thing I've ever done.
This is what I've been doing in Los Angeles, is just digging through these and looking for every single possible nook and cranny.
Can we the top?
Wait, who's the signatory?
What kind of? Oh, it is not okay. Non-profit corporation. Okay. Well, the Secretary of State accepted it though. Or is that a stamp?
It's got a Secretary of State ID.
Apparently so. We can always go online and see if it's there. You know, so every state Secretary of State's office has a place where you can go do corporation searches online. These are the things that I look at when I'm evaluating a potential petition to deny.
It's a pain in the ass.
It is. But
if the organization is not legitimate under state rules, that's a killing. That kills the whole thing right there.
Mm-hmm.
But the FCC, in all cases, will defer to state law as to what's an acceptable nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to find that out or ask a lawyer to help with that. So,
and determine the relationship. Determine the family relationship. Because, like, you can't apply for death if you have a brother, sister, mother, father, something.
It's in the rules, part one something, about how far that. Mm-hmm. It might even be in the instructions on the 318.
Yeah,
it's got how far afield. You said a cousin?
That's what I thought, but I could be.
I don't think cousin. No.
I don't think cousins.
No.
But is this person a cousin?
I can't remember right now.
How do you get so many points if they just incorporated in November?
Well, they can claim main studio. They can claim diversity of ownership. No other stations.
They claim four.
They claim four.
Okay.
But so this guy.
But that would be the
2 years. Stations.
So they didn't claim. They didn't claim 2 years, which is correct.
All right.
Okay. They claim. They claimed They claimed local origination and main studio.
Everything
except
price.
They can claim the bonus point.
Okay.
And they can claim diversity of ownership because they have no other broadcast holders.
I mean, ours might be the same thing.
Yeah. It probably is. Well, you were incorporated less than 2 years before filing? Yeah, the years are the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have 4 points.
Are there alternative frequencies?
Yes. Yeah, there are. And we tried to get him to move. Yeah.
You
and
might
then
have
we
to
told
move.
Prometheus
well.
We would pay for half of his thing. And we talked to him, and he's kind of grumpy about it.
You might have to move yourself then.
Why don't you move yourself?
And his options are better than yours. Unfortunately. I think there was a big DU.
Well, what does your organization look like? I mean, is your organization like a board of all these different people from all these different walks of life and, you know, more
not,
to the...
Not exactly, but we're really connected with the community. Our station would be way better. He's going to, like, rebroadcast some gospel stuff.
So here's his situation.
Maybe available.
He's got 55, 61,
so this, the maybes or anything,
probably
may have a second adjacent.
And may have other problems.
Well, 50, okay, so those, I don't use this tool that much. These are the second adjacent channel waiver.
It's the, yes, the
overlapping. So, yeah, so 50-something, that could be done with a depression angle waiver.
It can definitely be done. It's not that hard.
So that's
this is yours.
You know, you need to get one of us to work out, you know, the work
okay, so,
you want to.
So this was the...
Is
that yours?
This is theirs.
Oh, this is theirs. What about his? 55 is the best. Okay, by using multiple bay antennas at certain bay spacing, we can get that down to as little as 13% of that value, and readily at 17% of that value. So what's...
What kind
of... We can get it down to maybe 6 to 10 meters.
What's your antenna mounted on? I mean, what
do you
want
to
do?
It's not mounted yet.
Well, what is it
going to
be on?
I don't know. I like this idea now.
Well, that's where you have it now.
No, I like this idea.
Does this thing tell you how many dB a second adjacent channel station would give
this? This is a little difficult. Yeah. You're going to have to be on a medium height tower or a
bigger pole than just the 22 footer on, if it's on a building. Although, it depends where those other stations are. If you get closer to them, the DDU gets better in your favor. So, but chances are you're going to have to go on a legit tower somewhere.
Yeah. 822.
And that kind of rent, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
To get 100 feet in the air or something like
what's
that.
What's their height above average terrain?
But, you know, it's been done. And then,
FCC claims it's 350. No, wait, that's the other.
Does that DDU calc, is that rough or is that a real good based on terrain based calculator?
That's standard 315 terrain with a 360 degree radial half day crack.
Okay, so that's pretty.
And I would trust it.
This is usually. Alright, so it's 18.2. This is one of those stupid FCC ones.
Okay, so it's a 400 watts.
Yeah.
What's his ADL? What's his his radiation center?
8 meters.
8. And this is on top of a building?
No, it's
just a standalone tower.
It's just a place that we want to put a tower.
And just on the ground somewhere?
Yeah.
How far away is it from structures?
Not that far away.
So
it's going to be an over the headway roof.
So.
Yeah. Is it in the middle of a field or back of a house or what?
More like back of a house. And but we had to, you know, it was.
You can still move it. I mean, you can move it.
Yeah.
I mean, to be safe, I would just go up and for purposes of getting. If you're going to move channel, just put it on an existing tower, because nobody can argue about an existing licensed tower as being a problem. If you put a new tower in your backyard, they may attack you on. Oh, there's zoning issues. There's no way you could ever do that. You know, they can attack all this. At least for initial CP, it might be safer to put it on a legit tower, even if you're hoping to look at other options later. A legit existing tower.
Now, the thing we have computed is the relative interference on the contested channel and a possible new channel.
Yeah.
And I don't have that.
Well, this is based on the weakest station hitting him at 82.2 dB, 8 meters radiation center, and I put the floor at 1. So,
how you plug in all the elevation patterns?
Yeah.
Wow, this is new.
This is a Michioni tool.
Oh.
This is one of my back office tools.
I've gone up to a 4 base. Are you using Shively's calculator spreadsheet, or you've just got patterns from them, or whatever, doesn't matter.
Can you go any higher than?
If you ask Shively, they will give you their internal spreadsheet that they figure these things out.
Yeah. Can you go up higher?
Yes. Yeah.
So if we were to go 14.
There's a lot of choice there.
Yeah.
So what are we looking at right now?
You can almost do the dominant.
Yeah.
So you're just using half and full, right? In some cases, three-quarter will work the best.
Yeah, these
actually, here you go. Two bays, only two bays with a three-quarter works then, right?
Yeah, I have a database. You know, I have a table that I've got all these in, and I just over time I've been collecting all these elevation patterns.
And yeah, I've got a bunch on SWR halves and three-quarters. I bet you an SWR two-bay would work too. Well, it's halfway? Oh, well, you just went up higher.
I just went up higher. It went to 20 meters.
All right.
So
it looks like this can work somehow.
It's a higher interference channel, I think, than the original.
You're pretty sure you're going to be able to get approval to put a
60-foot
tower in the backyard?
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean,
you'd probably be better off being 100 feet or more off the ground anyway, frankly, just from signaling propagation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know it can be expensive, but I would look for existing towers.
The other thing is there's the game of chicken.
You
can wait it out.
Yeah.
I mean, do they really want to share time?
I feel like that's what he's doing.
Probably.
And see if
there's three applicants, isn't there?
Because you'd rather stay put, right?
Just two?
You would rather stay put rather than
move chairs. We would really much rather stay put, yeah.
Well, it's true. If moving to the new channel isn't better for you, maybe you're in an even point position, yeah, maybe you don't do anything initially.
and see what happens in the first couple of weeks.
But after the public notice comes out,
yeah.
So what are we going to learn in this public notice?
That you're both this tentative selectees, and that if you don't do anything, you're going to be
involved
in forced timeshare on their terms.
With a non-renewable license.
They want to do that.
They want to do a non-renewable license.
They want to do a timeshare.
They do or don't?
They do.
They do, but you don't.
No.
Well, then they're probably going to wait you out then.
Yeah.
By the way, even after the FCC imposes an involuntary timeshare, there's still like 30 days before it becomes final, which you can still do a voluntary settlement on your terms.
You can do a voluntary timeshare anytime after the involuntary is invoked.
Even after you're already on the air?
Yes.
Anytime before that license period expires, 8 years
expires.
Later? 8 years later or something?
You can change it to a renewable license.
Okay, I thought you'd have to do. Okay.
Yeah, the FCC has said that.
Anybody who gets a non-renewable is just plain stupid. You know, it's just. But they deliberately make it stupid so that you'll never want to do that. So.
They're basically bullying you to breach an agreement.
Exactly.
Part of it, basically.
Yep.
And I, you know, having reached out to them with an offer to, you know, help them with their costs, I have to say that cooperation was maybe not a strong suit, and if you were in a timeshare with them, that might be interesting.
Yeah.
I told them you could have 3 hours on Sunday, and that would be
they probably
the timeshare I would do.
Yeah.
Well, you got to do at least 10 hours.
He said no. I know, I was just bluffing.
Mm-hmm. Examine their app for possible position and I. Although, you know, when you...
We went through it quick, which is why there was nothing obvious, but...
Yeah.
The next step.
If you pick a fight, though, sometimes they fight back. And
Yeah,
you got to make sure there's something on yours that you can be looking for.
Yeah. Lindsay, I'm helping the group in Nashville, the WRVU Center. You're helping them, too?
Yeah, we got them.
They're good to go, you think?
Let me see.
Because I've got, there were several activist organizations that looked like they're partnering.
Are we done with this? We
voluntary and timesharing?
Yeah, sure. I
have a strange question. If they open up a 90-day window and the first day you file to move, but the other party files PTD against you, how does that get played out? Because...
Well, they're not going to act on the petition to deny right away, so you have to kind of proceed as if that'll be denied. Because they're probably not going to act on the petition tonight until the 90 days are already over.
No, they won't.
So it's you're going to have to proceed as if the petition to deny is illegitimate.
We're just kind of worried about them messing with us. They wanted to mess with us a lot so far, so it's like almost nothing they do now is going to surprise us. And you know what I'm worried on a PTD is that they might claim we don't have approval to be on that tower because he has rights to use that tower. We do not.
But I thought you had it written.
Remember, it was kind of the best of what we got out of everybody.
Did you at least get an email approving? Did you get anything in writing?
I have an email, but it's not an email saying because the tower is owned by Cumulus.
Yeah.
Or wait, is it Cumulus? No, it's owned by some major. I think it's Cumulus. It's owned by Cumulus, and he said that
as an alternative for any
other there was room for it for what we wanted to do, but he said, you know, to get the agreement we wanted would have to come from their main office in Atlanta, and he said that's going to take months at least, and we went with that because at least he said there was room.
Nebulous
Cumulus.
Petitions, reasonable assurances, but as long as they were in writing, have still, in my experience, held out. You know, even if it's saying, well, we have room in theory, but you're going to have to do this, and this, and we're still not sure. That's been good enough in the past.
Okay.
In my personal experience.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm not going
to... Trying to get a final.
Well, I mean, there's nothing we can do to get them to not file something. I mean, there's nothing. If I call them up or contact them anyway, there's nothing I'm going to say that's going to make them happy right now. There's nothing I can say.